try to get through my notes quickly this morning because I believe God wants to minister into our hearts. I believe he wants to do something within us this morning that will unearth the things of God in our lives. And I don't want you to miss out on it. I want your full attention. I would say that this is a prophetic word into your life, into the life of our church. I would say it's something that God wants to deposit into your life this morning, and we will see the fruits of this in our lives. If you want to turn in your Bible to 1 Peter, and if you want to put your, where we're going to end up is in the book of Timothy. Do you know God has made tremendous, tremendous deposits into this world? You know, when you look at the under the ground, you look at the oil depositories into the earth. You look in parts of Africa and other parts of the world, and there's diamonds under the ground. There's been deposits of God that God has placed in the earth. There's been vegetation, there's been animals, there's been seeds that produce after its own kind. God has invested heavily into the earth, the actual soil of the ground, into the birds of the air, into the animals, into the vegetation, that God has deposited into the ground things that have been waiting to be unearthed, to be found, to be discovered. He has placed genius, valuable metals and precious gold and precious things in the earth waiting to be found, waiting to be withdrawn from what God has deposited. He has allowed people to find and discover and to unearth the very precious things that he has placed, deposited within the ground. If you have a bank account and you have deposited money into that account, there's a day that you can go into the bank and withdraw what you have deposited into that account. If you have not deposited anything into that account, you cannot go in and withdraw that money from the account. God has deposited in each person precious, precious things. He has deposited his very seed within the Christian. And what is the DNA of his seed is all types of incredible giftings and talents and ideas and innovation and creativity. He has placed the very seed of God within each Christian. And there comes a time when God says, I'm going to withdraw from the deposit that I have placed within your life. I am going to bring what is deep to the front. I'm going to bring what is there under the earth of your life. I'm going to unearth it so that I can make a withdrawal from your life that will bring glory to his name. For instance, in Philippians 1:4, he makes a withdrawal from this in your life, that being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, will carry it out to completion. That he, in times in our lives, he makes a withdrawal from the good work that he has already began in us. In Psalm 42, the psalmist is crying out to God. He's like, God, I'm like a deer that's panting for the water. He's saying that I'm thirsty. I'm like a deer that's been hunted down by hunters. And I know if I get to the water that I will, my scent, my enemy will be off my scent. The hunters won't be able to find my footprints in the sand or in the soil. And I will just, if I can just get to that place. And he was shown how hungry he was for God, for something deeper than he had right now. And he says this, he says, Lord, deep calls to deep. And he was saying to God that the deep things that you've placed in me is calling back out to you. Lord, I need something in my life now that is deeper than what I have. Will you unearth it? Will you bring that to the fore? God has deposited in each life something in the inner vaults of our lives, in the deepest places that is you. He has deposited Him very self and the purposes of God in you. Listen to where you're at in Peter. Well, before I get there, let me tell you about Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1:5 says, "For in Him, Christ Jesus, you have been enriched in every way, in all of your speaking and in all of your knowledge, because of the testimony about Christ being confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift." Why do you not lack, Paul was saying? Because He's already placed it in you. You do not lack any spiritual gift because God has placed it in you. 1 Peter 1:23 says this, "For you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of an imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God." Peter says that when you surrender your life to God, that you are born anew. That a new birth has taken place. That the way you have been born of natural descent, that when you surrender to God, you are born again spiritually from above. And everything you need is in that seed. Every single thing that you need for life and for godliness is in that seed. When you are born of your mom and dad, you have access now to the human family. Welcome to the human family. But when you give your life to Christ, you have access being born into God's family. You've been born. We're all human. Every single person belongs to the human race. But not every single person belongs to God's race. Because He says for that to happen, you have to be born anew. You have to be brought in to His family. That His seed, and the seed, the word for the seed in the Greek is sperma. That His seed makes you born again, born anew, that spiritually your spirit is born again of God. Every seed then produces after its own kind. Just like as humans, we produce after our own kind. All the seeds of the earth produce after its own kind. Therefore, when God's seed is in us, the same principle applies, that His seed produces after His own kind. That the DNA of God is in us. The very instructions, the very code that is carried on the molecules of the DNA, the acid that's within us that tells us everything about who we are. Now God's DNA comes part of our very life. And He produces in us His characteristics, His traits. The deposits that He puts in us in that DNA is the very things He wants to bring to the fore. Now you just don't have your earthly father's DNA, but you have a heavenly father's DNA. What's wrapped up in that code of God? What's wrapped up in the DNA of God that He has placed within us? The DNA that He has buried into our very spiritual man, into our lives, the very results of being born from above. Listen to what 2 Peter says in chapter 1, verse 3. Am I roaring? Because I'm deaf in that ear? I knew someone was going to say, what? This week I've been deaf in this ear. I tell you what. I've had a very, very peaceful time this week. I can't hear very much. So if I roar, it's because of that. I'm trying to hear myself. Listen to what 2 Peter, he says, "This divine seed, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness." That this seed that is placed within us carries every one of the needs that we will have to live for Him and to live in this life. "Through our knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and goodness, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in this world caused by evil desires." He says, through these He has given us His very great promises that we may participate in the divine nature. Isn't that some challenge? I don't know about you, but I'm like, I'm supposed to be like Jesus. I'm supposed to treat you the way I think Jesus would treat you. I'm supposed to look at this world the way Jesus would look at this world. I'm supposed to treat Sharon, my spouse, the way I think Jesus would treat her. I find that usually challenging. But everything that I need is in the seed. Not just to treat Sharon. Good, sorry I didn't. But everything I need is in the seed that he's placed within me. That I can look at you the way Jesus looks at you. I can treat you the way Jesus treats you. I can look at this world the way Jesus looks at this world. I can reach out in compassion the way Jesus reached out in compassion. I can lay my hands on the sick and they get healed. Because the every need is in the seed, according to Peter. Everything you need is in the seed. And then he goes on to say, for this very reason, make every effort to keep adding. Add faith to goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness brotherly love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. I love the seed of Christ, because what he's saying is you can keep adding to it. It keeps adding to godliness, kindness. Add the kindness, faith. Add the faith, brotherly love. Everything that we need is in the... So God has deposited his seed into us. Have we got that little bit? And Paul is talking to Timothy. And I love the book of Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy. If anyone's aspiring to serve God in any way, know that book inside out and upside down. It tells us how to treat God, how to treat people, how to honor people, how to look after people. You see God pulling out from the deposits that he has placed within Timothy. You see God when he went to David as a 16-year-old boy. See, and I love seeing the young faces in here. And I know sometimes talking for 30 minutes can be a stretch for younger people. But if you get what I'm saying, I can set you up for life. And God goes to David as a young boy. He sends his prophet Samuel. And all of the people that were around that looked taller, looked stronger, looked more skillful, they all came in because God was going to now pick his new king. He was going to put a deposit into another man. And all the men, all David's brothers went, boy, this young man called David, all of his brothers went, boy. And the prophet was saying, yeah, he looks good. He looks sharp. Look at him. He looks strong. He's able to use a sword. He's handsome. He's tall. He's pretty. He's the belle of the city. Wherever he can be, he was thinking, this is the one. And God says, no, it's not the one. He says, Samuel, you're just like the rest of us, of human. You look on the outside. But he says, I look at the heart. Which is incredibly encouraging, incredibly scary at the same time, isn't it? And he says this to anyone else. These are not the ones that God's Spirit wants to make the deposit in. And he says, well, the young fellow is up minding the sheep. He says, well, get him down here. Samuel says, we won't sit down until he comes. I can't help but think, I hope he was just over the first hill. Because it might have been a long stand. But David comes in and God says, that's him. I'm going to make a deposit in him. He says, Samuel, get the oil. Samuel got the horn of oil out and he poured it over his head and prayed for him. And it says from that time on, chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, it says from that time on, the Holy Spirit was upon David. God had made a deposit. Now when the people of God were in trouble with a giant called Goliath, all of the other people that were there, the men that walked by, the warriors, the king of Israel, they were all there and nothing was happening. Because the king of the time who God also put a deposit on, God had withdrawn it completely. God says, you're not my bank. You're not my man. You want to serve yourself. And he said to Saul, I'm giving you a chance to get away. I'm giving you a chance to repent. Saul wouldn't repent. He says, now I'm going to take it away from you. And he gave it to another, which was David. And all of the men that were there, I'm sure the men were looking at Saul and saying, Saul, God's deposit is in you. Deal with this uncircumcised Philistine. Saul was hiding away. David comes down the hill, a little fella, teenager. And he looks over and he sees the giant, and the giant was taunting the people of Israel. There was a time for a withdrawal. There was time for something to be unearthed in David that God had deposited already earlier. God had made an investment, and he says, now David, this is a time where it's going to be payback on what I invested. And he brought the young boy down to the battle line. And he dealt with the enemy. Why? Because God made a withdrawal. And those of us who's been dealing with an enemy, God wants to make a withdrawal today. He's going to unearth something in your life that will put your enemy to flight. He's going to do something inside of you that you thought, this joint is too big. And God, I felt that the Lord is saying to me, no, this week, this was like early in the week, I'm going to shake, I'm going to unearth, I'm going to put my hand in. And you've been feeling the hand of God on you. You've been feeling, God, where are you? God, I feel oppressed. And God is unearthing. He's unearthing his word. He's unearthing the victory. He's unearthing the stone. He's unearthing the sling. He's unearthing it so he can bring you to the front line to say to the Goliath, it was for such a time as this that God made a deposit in my life. And you're going to get the withdrawal right smack bang in the head. And a victory is going to come about. Peter thought he was out of it. Jesus had made such a deposit in the Apostle Peter's life. He called him away from the fishing business. He showed him what he was like. He showed him his nature. He had revelation from God. Peter, who am I? You're the Christ. Earth hasn't told you that. Heaven told you that. There was such an investment. Peter denies Jesus just before he goes to the cross. Peter thought the investment was over. He thought the deposit was now going to be taken. What would God have anything to do with me? And he went back to his old life and he went back to fishing. And Jesus walked along because it wasn't finished. Saul was finished because of the attitude of his heart. But Peter's heart wasn't like Saul's. Peter's heart was like broken. I've denied him. How can I face him again? And Jesus rose from the dead and went to the beach where he was sitting. And he calls out, Peter, it's withdrawal time. Peter jumps out of the boat. I'm paraphrasing. Jesus didn't say withdrawal. Peter jumps out of the boat and he runs. And Jesus says, do you love me? Of course I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? And what he was doing was, do you love me? Yeah, he was taking it out. Feed my sheep. He was taking his call out of him. It was in you, Peter. I knew it was in you because I placed it there. But this is how I'm getting it out of you. Do you love me? Yeah, feed my sheep. But Jesus, and he was taking it out. Another bag of the deposit of God. Another deposit of oil that was placed there by God in Peter's life to fulfill the call of God. God is unearthing and he wants to unearth in you. You think you're far off. You think you're not like everyone else. You think you're not as good as everyone else. You think you're not the best prayer, the best warrior, the best preacher, the best whatever. But God wants to unearth something of the deposit that he's placed deep in your spirit from years ago. Why even look this way? Samuel the prophet, little boy, brought to work in the temple. God calls him Samuel. And he runs to the old prophet, or the old priest, Eli. Eli, were you calling me? Because I'm hearing voices. It's not a very good thing to be listening to, Samuel. You better go back to sleep. It was your imagination. It wasn't me. It's amazing how many times people miss out on God because they just think it's their imagination. But God will call again, Samuel. Eli, what are you doing? You're messing with my head or something. It's not you. Eli cops on the third time. That might be God. That might be God unearthing something in you. I'm not unearthing right now, placing something in you, son. Next time you hear the voice of God say, here I am. He hears the voice of God calling him. And he says, here I am, Lord. And the Lord starts to speak to him. And out of the speaking of God, out of the deposit of God, when God wanted to make a withdrawal and speak into the whole nation, he called on the one who he placed the deposit on. God wants to place deposits and he wants to make withdrawals from lives. Now you can't hide anymore under the sleeping bag. You can't say it's my imagination anymore because he called you two or three times. He wants to unearth it. He wants to give you something that can affect the nation. Imagine Eli saying to Samuel at the time, a young kid, Samuel, man, you're gonna do something in this nation. Ah, Samuel, I'm only a young fella. Samuel, I'm Hannah's son. I'm not even big in stature. I'm not well known. God says he places something in her. Do you know what it says about Samuel? And I love this. There's no dirt on Samuel, by the way, in the Bible. He's one of the only ones that sort of the dirt is not ditched out on him. But it says not one of his words fell to the ground empty. Such was the deposit of God. Now, not one thing he said fell to the ground empty. Not one thing he said didn't come to pass. Such was the deposit of God. God wants to withdraw, even to the point that you could speak into the nation. And I'm getting to Timothy. Here's what Paul says to Timothy. Timothy was Paul's disciple. They reckon Timothy was led to the Lord by Paul. Paul calls him in Timothy, really, my true son in the faith. 2 Timothy says, my faithful son in the faith. I'd imagine that Timothy used to walk like Paul. I bet you he used to preach like Paul. He had somehow, Paul took him under his wing and he trained him up in the faith. And now Timothy was the pastor of Ephesus. Do you know who went to Ephesus as their church? John the beloved apostle and Mary the mother of Jesus. Now I want to tell you as a young pastor, it's pressure enough having you guys in our church. People of your wealth and health and stature and intellect and looks, sorry, and talents and gifts. It's pressure. But I don't know, if the apostle was here and Jesus' mother Mary, I think I would feel extra pressure. Timothy, they walked with Jesus. She gave birth to Jesus. You better be preaching good, man. I went to Ephesus a couple of years ago. I went to the house where Mary and Peter were supposed to live. Timothy was passed from there. And Paul wants to look after his little guy. One of the commands Paul says to him, Timothy, preach the word of God. I've done a study on this years ago, delivered it to the church. A couple of us did. And I read in the commentary that Peter's death, or Timothy's death was this. They dragged him out when he was preaching and they clubbed him to death with sticks. And after doing such a study on him, I had an endearment towards him. I looked into his life and I seen him as a young fella, younger than me. And when I heard he was dragged out and clubbed, as I was reading, I was weeping. Because people give their lives for the deposit of God in them. People pay for it with their lives. So Paul is trying to encourage him. And this is what Paul says, 2 Timothy 1:14, Timothy, my son, guard the good deposit that was placed in you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. He says, guard the good deposit that had been entrusted in you. He said to Timothy in another place, he said, Timothy, live your life in a way that is in alignment with the prophecies that were spoken over you. He said, Timothy, there's a deposit of God in you. Guard it. Guard it well. Ask the Holy Spirit for the help to guard you. Guard the deposit that has been placed within you. He says, do not neglect the gift, your deposit, which was given to you through prophetic message when the body of leaders laid their hands on you. Remember the deposit of God in you. Listen, guys, guard it. Guard it. You can be sure there's a deposit in you if you're a Christian. You can be sure that encoded, encrypted in the DNA of God for your life is God's plans and purposes. Encrypted in the seed of faith that Eddie talked about. There's an answer and a breakthrough encoded in that little seed. And he says, guard it. And Timothy was facing such situations. Let me tell you some of the situations. He was facing problems. He was in a growing church. He was establishing his leadership. And in 1 Timothy, Paul says to him, charge the people to keep sound doctrine. You want to guard the seed in you? Keep sound doctrine. He says to Timothy, don't give in to those who are teaching false doctrines, fables, idle talks, old wives' tales. What he was saying was, Timothy, don't give in to the babble. If it's not in there, leave it with them. If it's not what you know that's in the scriptures, leave it with them. If someone's telling you anything and you have any check whatsoever that this mightn't be true, tell them to show you in the Bible. He says, Timothy, don't listen to old wives' tales. Don't listen to myths. Don't listen to men who wants to be teachers but haven't got a clue what they're talking about. Do you want to guard the deposit of God in you? Make sure you know who's talking to you. Make sure you know sound doctrine. Make sure you know what the scriptures say. He says, Timothy, here's another thing. Pray for all men. He faced false teachers. He faced liars. He faced deceivers. He faced men that had what Paul called doctrines of demons. He was saying they didn't get that doctrine from the Holy Spirit. He says they got it from an evil spirit. And he says, Timothy, guard the deposit because these will take you away. He faced issues with kings and authorities. And Paul says, here, Timothy, how to deal with it. Pray for those in authority. I know things are not going great in our country. Can I ask you to do something? Pray for our leaders. Don't pull down the Taoiseach. Pray for him. Pray that God, he's the leader that's in place. Pray for his cabinet. Pray for those. It's easy to slag. It's easy to pull down. It's easy to be just like everyone else. But the Christian is told, these guys are facing going to prison for being a Christian. And Paul says, no, don't pull them down. Don't slag them off with the rest of them. Pray for them, Timothy. Because what you're doing by praying, you're guarding the deposit of God that has been placed within you. Don't even give in, giving out about the weather. Believe me, don't let it into your spirit. It's a day that God has made. And I'll rejoice whether it's rain and snow, hailstones, sunshine. Because I'm alive another day. He faced women issues. Now, there's one thing being thrown into prison by the kings, but there's another thing facing women issues. I'm glad all the women are Latin. He just faced issues with women. And in the culture that you were living in, it wasn't easy for him to deal with it. And as a young man, it wasn't easy. He faced leadership issues. He faced people falling away from the faith. He was charged to look after the elderly. He had slaves and master issues. He had greed issues in the church, disputes in the church. He had to learn how to look after the rich and of the poor. He had to deal with deceivers. He had to deal with vulnerable people being vulnerable to people going into their homes and telling them all types of other doctrines. He had to deal with idle gossipers. Don't be a gossiper. Do not be a gossiper and call this church your home. Find another home. If you're someone that pulls down someone and you're a gossiper, listen to me, leave Liberty or repent. Do not have your name attached to our church and be someone that gossips. The Bible is awfully against that stuff. And so are we. I love saying to people, I don't know where you heard it, but I'll tell you what, you didn't hear it from these leaders. And there's stuff going on in leadership issues around the country, and people go, I heard this, I heard that. I can say, I guarantee you didn't hear it from Peter or Rob or me. And I want to be constantly able to say, I said to someone yesterday, you didn't hear it from Liberty. Because I've confidence in you. I've confidence in us that we're not just out there looking for the next person to pull down. But Timothy had to deal with them. Why did he have to deal with them? He's guarding the deposit. Are you still with me? Paul says, mark this, Timothy, these are terrible times. These are terrible times. He says, men are looking after their own stuff. They're looking after their own things. He said, Timothy, you will be persecuted. You will be persecuted for being a Christian. You will be slagged. These were being put to death. You will be ostracized. You will be made fun of for being a Christian. People won't understand you. People will try to pull the deposit out of you without even knowing it. Without being bad people or evil people. He says, watch and guard the deposit that is in you. Stick to sound doctrine. Live a life of love and purity. This is what he said. He said, Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Don't let them look down on you. Oh, she's only a young girl. She wouldn't really know. He wouldn't really know. He says, don't let anyone look down on you. Do not neglect the gift. He says, meditate on it. Meditate on the word. Like, give yourself entirely to the call of God that is within you. Let everyone see the progress of God in your life. Health check. Is someone close to you seeing the progress of God in your life? When I read that this morning, I was like, just this bell went over my head. Health check, no. Are you making progress, son? Are you further down the road than you were last year? Are you still facing the same issues in your personal life that you were facing last year and not dealing with them or not overcoming them? Health check. Is someone close to me seeing the evidence of God at work in me? Timothy, I know you have a tendency to give in to the fear and be depressed. That was some of Timothy's natural DNA. He was fearful. The fear that robbed him, the fear that immobilizes people, the fear that torments people, the fear that makes us powerful and feel alone. He says, Timothy, he says again, you've made good confessions in your life. He says, here's another good confession, that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you a spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. So Timothy, when the fear comes against you, make another good confession out of the deposit of God that's in you. No, God loves me. God has given me a spirit of power. God has given me a mind that I can make clear decisions. Decisions that are not indecisive of being governed by fear anymore. So Timothy, when you feel fear, when you feel intimidated, when you feel shy, don't buy into that. But remember the confession of the deposit that's in you. Power, love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. I'm telling you, well, you know what? If I could bottle that, that's the remedy for every single person's ailment in this world. That I am powerful because of who lives in me. That I am greatly loved and I have a right mind. Isn't it? Make that confession, he said. Endure hardships. Do your best to present yourself as a man approved by God, a workman who need not be ashamed, who holds the word of God correctly. He says, Timothy, do not neglect the gift that is within you. He says, Timothy, see the gift of God that is within you. He says, fan it into a flame. 2 Timothy 1:6. I remind you, son, to fan into flame the deposit of God which is within you, that you receive from the laying on of hands. He says, Timothy, get looking in and finding the deep deposits of God, the ones that you know, and start fanning them into flame. The deposit of God in you, this is what God wants to do. He wants to unearth it a bit today. He wants to take a withdrawal out of your life these days. He wants to bring the precious gems and oil. He wants to bring the precious metals that he's placed within your life to the front. He wants to say to those who are far off, no, come on, I still have that deposit. He wants to say to the Davids, David, I'm going to bring you to the battle line because I've been unearthing the right stuff within you. Paul said to the Roman church, this is what he said. He says, I long to go and see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. He was saying to them, I long to go because the Holy Spirit has given me something and I want to impart it. I want to unearth something of God in you and I can't wait to get you. And I could imagine when Paul went to Rome that they were longing and hungry for whatever God was going to unearth in their lives through the Apostle Paul. Jesus says to the disciples, go and wait in the upper room. There's a deposit from heaven coming. He said, go and wait in the upper room because there's a deposit from heaven coming. For some, there's a deposit, and for others, there's a withdrawal. And I pray that if you hear God this morning, that your heart is, Lord, whether it's a withdrawal or a deposit, I'm yours. Lord, I'm ready for the next step. Lord, I'm ready to deal with that joint. Lord, but I don't need something from me. I need something from you. Lord, I'm ready to step out of the boat like Peter, to run to the edge of the beach and say, Lord, I know I'm far off, but here I am. And Jesus says, yeah, do you love me? Yeah, Lord. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. For some, the call of God may become clearer. The passion of God may come clearer. The creativity of God, the genius of God, the genius of God unearthed in you to do something that no one's ever done in this world before, to strategize something, invent something that no one else has ever unearthed before, to come up with a program, to come up with a system that no one else has ever unearthed before. He has deposited in his people. Because everything you need is in that seed. Let's pray. We love you, Lord. Do not neglect the deposit. Do not neglect the deposit of God in you. Neglect it no more. Neglect it no longer. Acknowledge it. Here I am, said Samuel, here I am. I acknowledge it's you, Lord. I acknowledge it's the deposit of God in my life. He's deposited the marriage that you want deep within your heart. And he'll unearth that for your marriage. There's someone here that, like David, when everything was taken from them, his wife, his children, he was losing everything. He felt pressed in from every side, pressed in from his enemy, the Amalekites, and pressed in even from his own people. It says the men wanted to kill him. He was pressed in even by his own people. And David went to the side of a mountain and he withdrew from the deposit of God within him. And God spoke to him and says, David, go after them. And David had a choice to make. I have a seed, I have an inkling, I have a little seed of God. And encoded in that seed is my faith. And encoded in that is God saying, go after them. And encoded in that seed of faith is this: with God all things are possible. And David chose, even though he was pressed in from every side, to step out on the seed that God can do absolutely anything, anytime, anywhere, any place. And you feel pressed in. You feel from every side. And it could even be, like the psalmist said, you even feel God's hand is heavy on you. That's because he's trying to get something out of you, up. Every blockage. When you're digging for oil, believe me, you go through a lot of muck, a lot of stones, a lot of roots. And you feel like all over the place. And God is saying, I'm just reaching in to get to the deposit I've placed in you. Yet there's muck, yet there's stones. Yet there's things that have been placed in your life and it hurts as I'm going down to get it. But I'm going to go down and I'm going to hit the artesian well where springs of living water will come out of you. The deposit of water that I place, clean, pure water, refreshing water. The woman at the well said to Jesus, she says, can I have one of the deposits of that water you're talking about? Because I don't want to thirst anymore. Peter's unearthing at the withdrawal for Peter was ministry. And I just believe God wants to say them things to people. He wants to withdraw from the deposit of ministry he's put inside of you. He wants to get the oil to the oil of the anointing. He's going to unearth that for you. And I just want us to respond to God this morning in word.